The problem with the sinner is his sin. If there was a way he could be free from his sin and have righteousness in its place, all would be well with God. But that is exactly what Jesus has done. A lad and his father were working together in the field. The boy went before, dropping beans in the row, while the father followed, covering them as he plowed. Well, the boy had been told he could quit when he ran out of bean seed. Since he'd much rather play than work, he secretly scattered the beans everywhere when his father was not looking. Well, days passed and the seed sprouted and the plant showed up where the beans had been tossed. The father took his son to the field to show the evidence of his wrongdoing. And there in the field, the father and the son knelt together. Dad prayed, "Lord, teach my boy that beans come up where beans have been planted." Now that principle is applied in the spiritual realm in Numbers 32, verse 23. The Bible warns, "Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Previous studies in this series have underscored three great Bible truths. First, as to its nature, sin is an act and an attitude and a condition. Every person is affected by personal sin. Second, as to its origin, sin originated in the angelic realm and came into human experience by the deceit of an angelic being we call Satan. Every person suffers the consequence of human sin. And third, as to its consequences, spiritual death, which means separation from God, has come upon all mankind through the depravity wrought by the sin of the first human parents. Every person needs to be saved. Those three great truths raise the question, what is the remedy for sin? The remedy for sin is Jesus Christ. He is God's provision that the sinner might be forgiven and restored to full fellowship with God. He who comes to God is justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the only remedy for sin. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the sure remedy for sin. He said, "This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Those who knew Jesus best have testified, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things." How is it possible that Jesus can be the remedy for sin for all men of all generations and conditions? The Bible replies in these words, "For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death was all their lifetime subject to bondage." What did Jesus do during his incarnate ministry on earth which made him the sole and sufficient remedy for sin? Well, first, he bore our curse. The curse of sin is death. God warned Adam and Eve that the day they sinned by eating fruit from the forbidden tree, they would surely die. They ate in disobedience of God and entered under the curse of death as a consequence. Now Jesus came and endured the death which each sinner should suffer, the terrible experience of separation from God, and thereby remove the curse from those who receive Him. The Bible makes repeated reference to Jesus dying for sinners. For instance, 1 Peter 3:18 reads, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." Romans 5:8 reads, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, to say that Christ died for sinners means He died in their place. He died on their behalf. The sin debt was paid when the law was satisfied by the innocent one suffering death in behalf of the guilty ones. The curse of sin is no more on the Christian because Christ has borne that curse. Galatians 3:13 expresses the truth in these words, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." Secondly, He provides our cleansing. A great old hymn testifies, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." The hymn expresses a great truth recorded in 1 John 1:7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." John continues, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As a garment is washed in water to cleanse it from defilement, so the repenting believer is washed spiritually in the blood of Jesus Christ and becomes clean and pure before God. God says to every sinner who receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, "Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And again, Jesus makes us new. God does not merely reform the sinner, He regenerates and recreates him, a new person in Christ. 600 years before Christ, the prophet Jeremiah saw a demonstration of God's renewing in the heart of man. He saw a potter remake a vessel which was marred, and he heard God say, "Cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand." Now the New Testament declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And fourth, He makes us righteous. The problem with the sinner is his sin. If there was a way he could be free from his sin and have righteousness in its place, all would be well with God. But that is exactly what Jesus has done. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, the one who trusts Jesus Christ will find, like Abraham, his faith is imputed unto him for righteousness. Listen, Jesus has taken your sin and borne it on the cross as if it were His own. He has suffered the curse your sin brought. Now, in response to your faith in Him as your own Lord and Savior, He gives you His righteousness as if it were your own. You enjoy the blessings His righteousness brings. So come to Jesus with your sins and exchange them for His righteousness. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Open the door of your life and invite Him to come in right now. Father, grant that of the millions who receive these words, multitudes may turn to Christ Jesus in repentance and faith, and receive remission of all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.